in September, some events taking place for the Brown Helm Historical Association. And Kate Rivette joins us. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. Excited for all these open houses and a chance to kind of show off what's happening in Brown Helm?
We absolutely are. The fall is our big event season, so we're really excited to get started.
So let's talk about this event. This is tied in on coming up on September 8th, I guess, sort of a statewide event, Ohio Open Doors. They're looking to, what, have all these different historical agencies kind of open their doors to the public?
You've got it, exactly. The Ohio History Connection sponsors this 10-day event through the entire state of Ohio, and they're encouraging all historic buildings, landmarks, and associations to open their doors and give special tours and programs that they might not be able to normally give. And so they've provided support for us to open our doors. We're not normally open to the public, pretty much just by appointment only. So we'll be open on September 8th from 1 to 3 p.m., and we're actually going to be giving a special program on Brown Helm family histories. We're going to display all of our genealogy collections. And anyone who might have connections to Brown Helm, I'd encourage you to come and see if you're related to anybody, if we've got any information on your family. But we'll also be giving a tour of the building itself, which we've been restoring for several years now. So it's going to be a really fun event.
Kate, when we talk about Brown Helm history, what are we talking about? What stands out to you?
I think it's the just the fact of the people that have stayed there. There's a lot of really old families in that area who have just really rooted and stayed there for a long time. And of course, I live there, so it's very interesting to me. And the fact that there's some of the family names are just so prevalent there. So the Bacon family was one of the first families to move into that area and settle. And of course, Bacon Woods is down there in Mill Hollow. A lot of their historic homes are still there. And a lot of the people who live in that town or township did go to school in this building that we've restored. So it means a lot to the people that grew up in that township and still live there.
What drew people to that part of Lorain County to begin with? What were the resources in that particular part of the community?
I think it was free or cheap land brought them out there, just like everyone that moved out to the West. This was in about 1817 is when Brown Helm Township was established, and it was just all trees and woods. And the Connecticut Land Company sold the property to basically a land surveyor seller, and he came out. His name was Henry Brown. He bought a big chunk of land, started clearing and selling it out, and named it after himself.
Now, talk about the historic buildings, a little bit of their history. Are they there where they were, or have they been kind of relocated, or what's the situation with those buildings?
Our historic Brown Helm School and Museum has been there since 1889. And it has been in the same place. It's been renovated a couple times. They've added on to it, put a new facade on in the early 1920s. But it's been there for 100 years, and actually 130-some years. So they were about to tear it down, I believe. I was not a part of the group at that point, but it was maybe 10 years ago. So it was condemned, and they were going to just basically tear it down. And the Historical Association came in and said, no, we want to save this building. Many of us went to school here, and they have been able to almost completely restore the first floor at this point, and we're moving on to the second floor. And so it's a really cool building that encompasses the history of that little area that has been there for so long. We also restore the First Congregational Church out on Klaus Road, and that is also a building that has been there for over 100 years.
Do you find that there's families that are steeped in Brown Helm, in other words, many generations going back, that are still there today?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are old names. I also work in the cemetery, and to see the names of people I know, and there's tombstones out there from people who passed on in the early 1830s, and it's the same names. So it's really interesting to see how strong the connection the families have to that area.
We're talking today with Katie Rivette about the Brown Helm Historical Association. They have an event coming up on September 8th, part of the Ohio Open Doors, a statewide event, which people might want to look at, I guess, for the first few weeks of September throughout the state. Discover Ohio has this kind of heritage that they're kind of letting people take a look inside. Mm-hmm. Look at. But you have something coming up on the 22nd and 23rd, the second annual Civil War Days. You and the guys in the Lorain County Metro Parks, talk about this event.
I am very excited about this. This is a really cool event that we are trying to get going on an annual basis. And basically, it's two full days from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., free to the public. And we are focusing on education on the Civil War. So it's not just come down and see people dressed up and, you know, look around. We have presentations on all kinds of different topics, from photography during the Civil War to how they cooked in the camps to what women would wear in that era to uniforms, special presentations on Johnson's Island, which was a Civil War soldier's prison on Johnson's Island up in Lake Erie, and medicine in the Civil War. So we really want to educate people and bring them down and have them learn something really useful about their history. So we're going to be down there for two full days. It's going to be a lot of fun. I encourage people to bring a picnic and come on down and see what we've got going on. We also have a couple of the pretty typical fun things that are at Civil War events. So we've got a unit, an artillery unit that will be giving a demonstration on how they fire their weapon every hour. And then we also have several reenactor groups who will be giving firing demonstrations on their rifles. We've got things for the kids to do. They can come down and try on Civil War era clothing. They can learn how to march as a soldier. So we're really trying to grab everybody and see and have something for everyone to do.
I see too that Bruce can learn how to drink sarsaparilla. Is that correct?
Sure can. Yep, we'll be selling sarsaparilla and pop and popcorn, but that's it. So that's why we're encouraging folks to bring their food if they want to hang out for a good portion of the day.
Greg, I have a hard time learning how to spell sarsaparilla.
I know.
I couldn't tell you how to spell
there's
it.
There's an R in there somewhere.
There's an R in there, third letter.
I also know you mentioned how you're involved with the cemetery restoration project. You have an event coming up on September 5th, if I'm not mistaken, where you for a restoration project. Tell me a little bit about that and your passion and kind of understanding of the importance of this, too.
Well, September 5th is our monthly meeting for the Brownhelm Historical Association. It will be at the Brownhelm School on Northridge Road. And I'm giving a presentation on our cemetery restoration project, which we've started back in June. We had a two-day seminar where we had a professional cemetery restoration expert come in and actually show us the proper techniques for cleaning, for repairing, for resetting all of our gravestones to try to bring that cemetery back. It's got so many people in there who are original settlers to Brownhelm Township, and it just hasn't had the care that it needs and it deserves, mainly because, I don't know if people really know this, but a cemetery stone is owned by the family, and it's the family's responsibility to take care of that stone. So if it falls into disrepair and the family's no longer around, then there's no one to take care of it. So we have been out there. We go out a lot of times on Saturday morning, and we've been cleaning and digging up stones, resetting them, trying to repair anything that has been cracked or damaged. And I got into it simply because I'm very big into genealogy, and like a lot of genealogists, you end up in cemeteries a lot, and you start to really appreciate the craftsmanship and the value of those gravestones.
Do you ever find ones that have been kind of covered over, you know, or at least
absolutely, yes,
something must be under there, and you have to kind of carefully excavate it, I guess, is it?
Yeah, we actually have been doing that the last couple of weeks. We've been taking these little metal probes, and you just kind of keep sticking them into the ground in an area where you think maybe there's a grave or a gravestone until you keep hitting something, and then you just start digging, and you carefully pull out what's there. And there's actually a stone at the cemetery right now that was in six pieces and half-buried, grass growing over it, and we are in the process of piecing it back together step by step so that it's going to stand upright again.
Just like a jigsaw puzzle, I would
imagine. Exactly, like one.
If people want to find out more about the Association as well as these upcoming events, where's a good place to get some details on
that? Well, I would say first and foremost, our Facebook page. We really are sharing a lot on Facebook, so you can just look up Brown Helm Historical Association on Facebook, or we do have our website, brownhelmhistory.org. And we would welcome anyone who wants to join or just help with the efforts. We're doing all kinds of stuff.
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate your time this morning and sharing all the details of what's happening with Brown Helm and Historic Brown Helm as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Katie Rivette joining us this morning, talking all about things happening in Brown Helm.